Time now for the Voice of the Land on the Big Play Network with your hosts, Kevin Arnold and Always Positive Jay.
It's bracket time in the sports landscape. That's right. March Madness starts tomorrow. I guess it's already started because you've already had play-in. And it's great to see that the women have play-in tournaments too. Both tournaments have the same amount of teams. You get play-in for both. You get the first four is what they call it. I know the men are down in Dayton. You guys know where the women's first four is? I have a bracket right here. Let's see. The first four is located Blacksburg.
I know where that is.
Yeah. Isn't that in Virginia?
Sure.
That's where Virginia Tech's at.
Okay.
So Columbia and Blacksburg. That's the two hosts of the women's first four. They get started tonight. The men started last night. Boy, oh boy, did Virginia set the game of basketball back. Many years, they were 14 of 50 something from the floor.
Yeah, way to not take the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. How do they leave Indiana State out, dude? That still annoys me.
I don't know.
It was so fun to watch. And he's the only dude I really know in the men's college basketball.
NCAA and MLB, they're against fun. I don't know.
Yeah, they just like to get in their own ways.
I mean, they say the NFL is no fun league, but guys get to celebrate and still like they're still fun in the NFL. NCAA and MLB.
Just NCAA everything.
Like, how many times do I have to watch a bat flip in, like, South Korea or, somewhere overseas? All of this fun, Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, those Latin America countries where people are dancing in the stands just like at soccer matches.
Banana games. These games look awesome, by the way.
I'm going to sidetrack you here. Did you see the one with the pitcher from the Savannah Bananas?
Which one?
For the second out. Well, because one of the things I didn't realize in those games, if a fan catches a foul ball, it's an out.
Yeah.
Which is freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd be bringing my gloves. Amazing.
The foul ball was caught by the pitcher's brother. Nice. And the second that he just catches it, and pitcher sees it, and he's like, his brother throws it back to him on the field from the second deck, throws it right to him, and he's like, you can see a mouth to the dugout. That's my brother. And he's like, waves him down, and he comes out. But what are the freaking odds?
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane. Because they're coming to Cleveland, aren't they, this summer?
Yeah, they're going to be a progressive field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to go.
So I want to go.
Can we go? Well, we need to go as a group.
We need to go, yeah.
So you have to get into a ticket lottery.
What?
Oh, I bet.
And be selected to, and I went into the early access, like, we'll email you if you're selected to purchase tickets or have an opportunity to purchase tickets. Never got an email.
Oh, man.
Or unless they haven't done it yet.
I'm hoping they haven't because it would be awesome to see that.
Or else you're going to have to go through like a ticket broker of like people that like resell their tickets.
I'm just sneaking in.
You can't just sneak
don't
in.
Don't we have press credentials that? Yet? Come on.
Someone does.
Maybe.
Well,
this is the Voice of
back to March Madness because people love the banana talk.
We can talk banana talk.
We're bananas.
Yes.
That's bottom line.
Yes. The show goes bananas a lot. But this is the Voice of Land, the Big Play Network. I'm Kevin Arnold. He's Always Positive Jay. That's Peter Tellup that you hear in the background. You will never see him. He is an AI system. Our AI system is actually using a different AI system to get our clips out. I think hopefully people are enjoying the new style of clips that we have. We even have closed captioning on them. So we thank our AI system audio, what Jarvis was to Iron Man. Audio is to the Voice of the Land. He's more so known as Peter Tellup. We are watching the Cavs game here since it is on WUAB. Peter has.
Yeah, because I'm told when Kevin goes to me one time in this show and it's going to happen, he's like, so what do you think, Jay? And I'm going to be like, watching Cavs game. I don't know what you said.
I don't even know the question. Of course, we want to thank our friends over at Big Play. Proud to be a part of that family. Want to thank Vector Technical. They get the right person in the right job the first time. Signs out in front of their offices in Willoughby all the time. Looking for a job, reach out to Vector Technical. More information on them to come. And, of course, we are also now on the audio version of the show when it gets reposted to your favorite podcast platform. We are also on the Be On Air podcast network. That is Ohio Media School, Illinois Media School, the whole media school connected whatever platform, aisleway, however you want to say it. We want to thank them for adding us to that platform, giving us a new sense, a new crowd to tune into the show. If you've tuned into it, you probably know that we go bananas and go off track a lot. We started with college basketball and made it all the way to Savannah banana baseball.
Within like 3 minutes.
It doesn't take long.
No, it gets off track with the quick. It is what makes us awesome.
But I figured tonight we would, you know, it is bracket bonanza. I don't want to use like the official language I did to start the show, but we're not like sponsored or anything. So that's where the legalities come in. If you try to say, like, watch our March Madness coverage presented by so-and-so company, you cannot do that. Like, you cannot do that. That is copyrighted by the NCAA. They have March Madness. I think they have Mayhem as well. They have a few different versions of the word. So if you say it, it has to be, like, non-sponsored. Like, just like when you talk about the Super Bowl, it's basically the same thing. So we're going to bookend the show with a little college basketball talk. Now, haven't watched as much as I would like to this year, but you know, I got a 10-month-old at home and he's a little bit more, priorities have definitely changed.
Well, we keep it 100 on this show,
we
right?
We keep it 100. So and I've only watched a little.
I've watched
zero.
Absolutely zero. Not Peter, a single game.
Peter, zero for you as well?
Pretty close to zero, yeah.
So here on the Voice of Land, we are your college experts.
Hey, listen, I've told this story on this show / podcast before, and I'll tell it again because I'm not ashamed. I'm not embarrassed. We don't hide anything on this show. You can watch as much college basketball as you want and think that your picks are so well, you know, they're educated, they're informed because you've seen all these teams. You know who the best players are. You know how they match up, whether it's a 5-12 or, can a 16 seed actually upset a one because we've now seen it twice. This team can actually do it because they run this type of. There's plenty of people that do that watch college basketball for a living and follow it and cover it. You can be as informed as you want. I would say 10 or so years ago, I was very informed on college basketball. And I had a little bit more time to delegate to that. And I got I was welcomed into one of my best friends, like family pool, bracket pool. I was the only non-family member in the entire thing. I came in second or third place. The winner at the time, the girl was seven years old. Yes, 7 years old, picked based on color and won the entire bracket challenge.
Nice.
That tells you how informed you need to be to do a bracket. We are going to do a bracket here tonight. Peter's got a bracket pulled up. We're going to do that in the last segment because Jay has a certain challenge we need to discuss as well, and maybe there weren't any rules said, so we might be able to help him out here tonight.
As far as I'm concerned, I'm allowed to go on the internet and research all this stuff. If I so happen to know people in sports media, I'm allowed to ask them for help. They never said we weren't allowed. So, yeah, you guys help me out all you want.
All right. Yeah, we'll talk Aaron, about that.
I mean, the person I'm going against goes on a college basketball show for national radio.
Yeah, so
and I've watched zero. Let's see who wins.
Got all the resources right there. So use your resources as exactly. Well. And we'll dive into that deeper as the show goes on. But I do want to, since you guys haven't seen any of it, I want to throw some storylines out at you guys and get your actual, like, firsthand reaction to them. The first one I want to throw out to you. Duquesne in the men's tournament. The Duquesne Dukes have not been in the tournament for 44 years. Do you know who their head coach is?
Keith Dambrot?
Yes. Keith Dambrot, who, yes, coached LeBron.
Like that pool?
Yeah.
That's like, nice. How do I know this?
Because Keith Dambrot coached LeBron for his first 2 years in high school, which opened up the opportunity, and he took it. Going into LeBron's junior year to coach at Akron, led them to the NCAA tournament. Now has led Duquesne, which I believe he was telling the story on ESPN Nationals. I was driving in that his dad was affiliated with Duquesne. And when they won championships, when he used like the championship used to go through the NIT. So like he has a rich history with Duquesne. And now I believe it has been reported that he is going to retire after this year. but he has led Duquesne to their first NCAA tournament in 44 years. And then his associate head coach, Drew Joyce III, who used to coach at Cleveland State, now coaching with Keith Dambra at Duquesne, could be the favorite to take over there.
He had a famous teammate once, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, LeBron James, pretty good.
Yeah. So
LeBron James.
Yeah, LeBron James.
I thought you were talking about Travis Romeo.
Romeo Travis. Damn it.
After I get that quiz question right, I mess his name up.
So, initial reaction, you guys, from that story.
I mean, I'm pulling for him, and I definitely hope Drew Joyce gets the job after he leaves.
Yeah, I mean, I always like the kind of Cinderella stories. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's because I don't follow college basketball that much. There's so much of it. It's hard for me to keep up with it. I have too many other things going on. So when you hear those kind of stories, it's like, I like rooting for the underdog.
Yeah.
You know, even,
I mean, we're Clevelanders. We root for underdogs.
Right. Even in like college football. In college football, if I'm just watching like a bowl game, or, you know, I'll usually root for the underdog because I like to see that happen. So someone, especially for those players, they come into, you know, a big spotlight thing like that, and, you know, they're not expected to win and they pull it off. I think it's just a great story.
Do you guys think that the new NCAA football bracket they have with, what is it, 12 teams this first year?
It's going to be 12, and they've already expanded it to 14 in 2026 before they even see how the 12 team thing goes.
It's going to compare to March Madness for basketball at all? Because
the
beauty of March Madness, I'll say, is it's that first day or those first couple days when they're just game, and people like get vasectomies so they can be off for the whole week and stuff. And it's honestly, God,
I know. I know. Like, trust me. It is the highest rate because I've heard those stories like every other year. Like, someone is reporting on somebody that did that. Just,
yeah, people go to trips to Vegas, and it's just craziness those first couple days.
This is my favorite week out of the year. I know that that's weird and probably sacrilegious to say in a football town, but you guys know how much I love basketball, mm-hmm. and you guys also know how much I love soccer, but there's not really like that week of that. There's tournaments. There's favorite tournament overall is the World Cup. Like, I love seeing that. And
I'm trying to think of, like, what is my favorite sports time of the year?
This is my favorite because whether I know what's going on or I don't.
October when all three are going, I think?
Maybe.
I think it's October. When all three teams are going,
if guards
I absolutely
make it into
love it. Yeah. When Guardians, Cavs, and Browns are all playing, I am one happy little guy over here. I love it. It gives us all the content in the world to talk about. I
wish we had that more consistently. But, yeah, I love this week. I love the first 2 days. But even when you get to the second 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, even though you've cut the amount of games in half each day, like, there's still that stacking of games and there's stuff going on. What I love about YouTube TV is that they allow you to do the view of all the games mm-hmm. going on at once. That is a game changer.
Does it show all of them? I've only seen the ones where you can, like for football, where you can watch like four games.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and there's only there at
are there
one
only
time,
four at one time?
At most, there's only four going on okay. at one time. So,
oh yeah, for each quadrant. Yeah,
so you okay. get each corner of the screen you have, and if you have a big TV, you're getting like a regular size TV version of each game. You can watch it all going
that
on.
That is a really cool feature.
It is.
My wife hates it because Jacob and I will be watching like four games at the same time. She's like, how do you know what's going on? It's like, you know, there's a lot of commercials and stuff. You just
keep
kinda,
moving
yeah.
the eyes. Just keep moving the eyes. Storylines here in these tournaments. I also want to touch on a couple women's ones too. But the other one I wanted to really get your guys' thoughts on, Long Beach State. Makes it into the tournament. They were not the favorite in their conference tournament. I forget what conference it is. Maybe the WAC, something like that. Western, I don't know.
I'm not sure, but I did see that story today online.
Their coach they mutually agreed to part ways, and they said you could finish out the season thinking as bad as the team was this year, they would lose in the first game of their conference tournament, and their season would be over. They wouldn't be invited to any postseason tournaments. Well, that is gone the other way, and now he is coaching in the NCAA tournament. Fired, by the way. A fired coach is still coaching.
They're like, all right, you're done. the season was done pretty much. Yeah. And then they had to play their conference tournament to get, and the winner gets in the bracket, obviously.
Yes.
And they just were on, they were like, well, screw it. We're winning it all this year. And they did it, huh?
Yeah.
And they got in. That's pretty cool. This dude.
It's an one. The amazing story about that is I can't remember exactly what he wrote on the board, but he, I remember he told his students, don't do it for me, do it for each other.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
so amazing.
Yeah, because I think the weird thing about that is, I guess with the previous athletic director, they had been talking about an extension for him. And then that before all that got hammered out, the athletic director took another position at a different school. Then a new guy came in. And I guess their season, if I remember correctly, their season started out okay, but then they just really kind of fell apart at the end of the season. And it was like, okay, well, maybe it's time for new blood. And,
yeah,
you know, it is a weird story. That is one team I am really, really rooting for them. I don't expect them to get very far, but it would be really cool if they did.
I want to keep this conversation going on the other side of the break. And there's a couple more storylines I want to get your guys' reaction to. Your first initial thoughts that come out of your mind if you haven't actually heard it before. And then I think we'll also touch a little on the Crunch, give a little Crunch update. Our friends over at the Crunch as well. We're happy to partner with them and help promote indoor soccer. They had a big weekend in Omaha. What happened? We'll talk about that. Plus more NCAA tournament talk. It's a basketball filled version of the Voice Land right here on the Big Play and Be On Air podcast networks.
Whether you're looking to hire new talent or start a new career, Vector Technical has you covered. Vector Technical is a 28-year-old staffing firm that has helped thousands of job seekers advance in their career with reputable partners throughout Northeastern Ohio. Vector Technical is more than just a temp agency. With an above average hire-in rate of 1 in 4 candidates, Vector works hard to connect the right person with the right opportunity the first time. Vector Technical hires for skilled manufacturing and light industrial work and is sure to have a career that you've been looking for. To learn more, visit our website at www.vectortechnicalinc.com.
One.
Show behind the show, we're always talking. Mentioned the Savannah Bananas in the first segment, and Peter just saw that, you know, you had to get into the ticket lottery for the Savannah Bananas playing at Progressive Field by December 1st, which I got into that. I got an email a few weeks back saying, you know, we appreciate that you got in. Like, we're not there to open it up yet, but, you know, make sure you remember that you're in and being looking out for the email if they allow for tickets. Well, Peter, tell the people listening and watching us how much tickets are on a ticket brokerage site like SeatGeek.
So yeah, I went on SeatGeek and they are starting at $324 for the 500 sections, upper field.
Nice.
And what's interesting is, Kevin, keep your fingers crossed, because if you do actually get a chance to buy them, according to the site, their tickets are either $35 or $100, depending if you want the VIB, very important banana, experience. And that includes like all the fees, they said. So there's like no additional fee. So it's like $35 a ticket if you are fortunate enough to get in there. So
jeez. Yeah, and then the resellers. So
the resellers are basically
going, taking it through the roof. Yeah. I mean, it's just, I feel like if
the resale right now will be high.
I feel like
wait till it gets closer and they want.
But here's the thing. What is curious is how they already have. And the thing is, there weren't many seats on there. So I wonder if these resellers are, what if there's a season ticket holder type?
Maybe,
you know,
there might
be money that a season ticket
holder gets in,
get a first access, just like SummerSlam. I will for the Browns.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's the cost of their, like, cost of, there's tickets already listed on.
And there weren't many. There weren't many.
Even though WWE hasn't said that they've released tickets, like, usually, like, there's, like, a huge promotion during one of the two shows, Raw or SmackDown. Like, ticket packages for SummerSlam, ticket packages for WrestleMania, open now. Single event tickets for WrestleMania or SummerSlam, open. They usually announce that, but my wife found, tickets available for SummerSlam are being listed as SummerSlam tickets in the upper portion of the stadium, probably the top of the top, for over $400.
Oof.
Holy
so, yeah, that dream died very
quickly. Well, it'll be interesting because, you know, Jay, if you do get the access with the season being a season ticket holder,
I'll see what they cost.
Yeah, you may be able to get them for an actual reasonable price because
yeah,
the real and that's the problem with the third party resale sites is that they can really ask whatever they want for them.
Yeah, and they get their bots machine goes mm-hmm. in there yeah. and they just oh, yeah. like gobble everything up.
Yeah.
I can't stand that people are allowed to do that. It annoys yeah.
I mean,
me
that's
really
the reason
bad.
Why like shoe market, sneakerhead market has gone way through the roof and resale. Like there are stores.
Can't take the lead.
In malls, yes, they take the lead 62-61. They were down the entire first half. There's stores in malls now where, like, these guys mm-hmm. that used to just do it on their own through Instagram or social media, like, it's all of their shoes, and it's a group of friends that got together, bought a space, and are reselling all these shoes that they've gotten because they're able to gobble up when a new Jordan drops. If the store doesn't minimize how many you can pick up, plus they got plenty of friends, they send all their friends in to get the tickets, then they win the raffle and they come in and purchase them because they're given money to do so because these people have so much because they're reselling Jordans that were like $150 for $400.
Nice.
It's just, I mean, hey, to each their own of how do you make money, but
capitalism.
Well, I mean, it's supply and demand. And the thing is the Nike, could make more shoes if they wanted to, but it benefits them to have the craze.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's, I get it. Yeah. That's why I don't have, you know, a lot of expensive tennis shoes.
And I'm sure the tickets to get into NCAA tournament games, especially as you get closer to the Final Four in these big stadiums. And then the women's Final Four, of course,
going
to be right here in Cleveland, Ohio. Tickets already going through the roof. I guess more tickets for the women's Final Four have been sold than the men's. Already, so
well, yeah, because the women's is going to be the better tournament this year.
Yes, so
it's going to have. I'll put money that the women's has higher viewerships this year than the men's.
Yeah,
there's more star power in the women's. It's like we were saying. You got Juju Watkins. You got Paige Beckers. You have
Caitlin Clark,
and Angel Reese.
There's plenty of other names mm-hmm. out there.
But those are four like household names now.
Yeah, like name four of the top guys in the NCAA tournament.
I don't know any.
If we had a cricket sound effects, we would play it right now because I can't.
The guy they left out is the only guy I knew.
I can't even name him. But some of the storylines coming in. One last one I want to touch on the men's side before we flip over to the women's. Did you guys see the end of the Akron-Kent State MAC championship game?
I didn't see it, but I heard about it.
God, I feel so bad for the kid. I really do. Julius Rollins of Kent State, like there was no communication on what, you know, because he's in the heat of battle. He's not looking up the big jumbotron or anything. You know, when you get up 1 point like they did when they got the putback for Kent State to take the 1 point lead over Akron, that's when you yell out like that was our talks in basketball communication. Don't foul. You know, just let them run up the court because they don't have much time. They have to go the length of the floor. Like, let them go. Just, you know, put a barricade in front of the paint. Like, don't let them get all the way to the basket because they only need 2 points to win. Intentional foul, and Akron sinks their two free throws and goes on to win the MAC championship. Like, I feel absolutely sick for the kid because he's in the heat of the moment, and he's just trying to make sure that his team has a chance to come back in the game, thinking that they still needed to come back and hadn't come all the way back yet.
Yeah, that would totally suck to be that person, dude. I'm not going to lie. Because you just feel like you lost. You don't lose a game on one shot or one mistake. You don't. But when you're in that position, you're just feeling it, dude. And he's probably not feeling too good still.
So on the women's side of things, what do you guys think Caitlin Clark's impact is able to have on the women's game? Like, I feel like NWSL for soccer, like teams are opening women, like NWSL specific soccer stadiums, selling them out in the opening weekend. They just opened last weekend, crazy opening match in Kansas City where they opened up that first stadium. Like women's basketball taking off, women's sports in general taking off. Is that a product of people like Caitlin Clark, big names like Caitlin Clark, Alex Morgan in soccer? Stuff like that, or is it these players are now big names because the game has just risen to that level where people are now finally recognizing that there is talent and skill and great action on either side of the ledger.
I think it's a combination of the two. I think that the women's game has been getting better. It's becoming more competitive. And because of that, and then you have, of course, Caitlin Clark. I mean, historic what she's done in her career. So that helps as well. It just generates that buzz. Hopefully that can continue. You know, the big thing is women's sports in general don't draw as well as men's, just in general. And the thing is, most sports fans are men. So if we can have stories like Caitlin Clark that get more girls interested following the sports, involved in the sports, that's great. Because really, you know, you kind of need to grow that. Because unfortunately, it is a business, right? So you have to have a product that people want to come watch. And I think they're on their way, at least with I think college basketball definitely is very – it's a lot more, I think, exciting.
I think the change of the game is a big part of it too. The fact that when we were younger and I was watching, like, you wanted to get down low. The center was the main position. Mm-hmm. Dunking, it was all about dunking. You know, the big stars were the dunkers. Now they got all the analytics, and they're like, nah, you guys should probably be shooting a lot more threes. Now all your big stars are these three-point shooters. Well, the difference between the guys' game and the women's game is the dunking. It is the biggest difference. They can't just jump out the sky like we can, unfortunately. I would love it if they could. It'd be awesome for them, but unfortunately, just can't. There's some that can dunk, but I think that the way the game has evolved, and like they've been saying, like, shooters can shoot. You could shoot from anywhere and shoot like that, guy or girl. There's no difference there. A shooter will shoot. It doesn't matter. They showcased that when they had what's-her-name playing against Steph Curry in the three-point contest.
Oh, Sabrina. I love that part. That was my awesome. Favorite part of All-Star Weekend.
That was probably one of the biggest highlights, and that was one of the most talked about. I thought she should just been in the three-point shot contest with everybody else.
And she was shooting from the men's three-point line. Like, mm-hmm. people, if you don't realize, women's three-point line is a little closer to the basket still than the men's is. The men's has been extended over the years after it was implemented. It's been pushed out, and now the range of people is just out of this world. Like, pulling up at a logo three, like, that used to be, like, eye-popping. Now it's just like, oh, another basketball play. Great shot, you know? I'm not trying to downplay it. Like, it still takes skill to do that. But logo three used to be a big thing. Now it's everybody's going for that. The one thing that I hope young
know why they do it too. No one guards them out there.
I know.
So, like, if they ain't gonna guard me, I'm gonna shoot it. And if they believe they can make it, shoot it.
Yeah. Like, because people are still playing the percentages that they're not gonna make it as often as they think they will. Cavs back down seven as missing some shots and took the lead, and Jimmy Butler's just, I was told he wasn't playing tonight, but hey, things happen. The one thing I do hope that kids take, especially the young girls, take from Caitlin Clark, not just, you know, the skill and, you know, if you're really good, you can have the spotlight, how she handles the spotlight. She talks about, I'm just glad I get to continue the legacy of the people that came before me. There have been great women's basketball players for ages. That's me saying that. I know there have been great women's basketball players for a long time. There's been great women athletes for a very long time. The spotlight is just starting to get there when it was deserved a long time ago. But Caitlin Clark recognizes, honors the past, and knows that she is a role model to some of these kids and tries to be the best be the best version of herself in terms of who the person that she is, because she knows the kids are looking up to her. And she also knows that she's not the only really good player in college basketball right now. We named four of them. There's plenty of others. UConn always has a stash of great players. Stanford always has a stash of great women's
Ohio
basketball
State's
players.
Got a great women's
Ohio
basketball
State
team
has a great women's program right now. It's on the up and up, and that's what you want to see, but don't There's people that take the spotlight, and it's all about them.
Like I said, I'm Caitlin a casual Clark, watcher of college basketball. Did you notice I knew a lot more about the women's basketball?
Yeah.
I told you, the women's basketball has more steam this year.
And it's going to get more, like you said, it's going to get more viewership. Is it as many upsets happen in that tournament? No, but it started last year. There were some more higher seeds that were winning games. So the parity is coming to the women's game, in addition to having stars that you can recognize and you've seen and heard before.
Do you think they also, because, I mean, UConn had just years that they just dominated. It just felt like no one was going to beat UConn for so many of those years. I think, like you said, having parity now, it helps a lot.
It always helps. Mm-hmm. It always helps to have that parity, because why do they call it what they call it? Why are we doing bracket bonanza tonight? Because
you don't know anyone could win it.
Anyone. There's plenty of programs that are still getting the one and done freshmen. And other programs that have the 4 to 5, now 6 year seniors that have been playing together for a while, and team chemistry can take over when it's a bunch of guys that were told how good they were in AAU and they're going to go this pick in the NBA draft. They're going to be a lottery pick. They've been told how good they are, and they don't focus on actually building the chemistry with their teammates over the year. I mean, you're a fan of UNC. We still owe up on the Duke UNC wings challenge. Bet. But like, I'm not going to have Duke going very far because you can't trust them in moments. Like, they don't, as talented as they are, they don't execute.
It hurts that they don't have their coach anymore.
Yes, that too. Like,
that guy was pretty good.
John Shire was a great player for Mike Krzyzewski. But is he as good of a coach?
Yeah, long time to be that good again.
Recruiting, you can have success because all you have to do is, I'm with Duke. Like, I'm with Duke. Like, you, if you're a basketball player, you know that that's one of the top programs. They're coming to me? Oh, like, they want me. But how are you?
Unless UNC's recruiting them too, then it gets tough.
Yes. But, like,
there's that much cooler.
I'm UNC. I'm Kentucky. Like, that easily gets the kids' attention when you hear that big name program.
Which school do you think is the cream of the crop when it comes to recruiting? Like, you hear that name and that's where you might want to go.
5 years ago, I probably would have said Kentucky.
But
I think the one and done's really hurt them. Kentucky,
North Carolina.
UNC has been able to retain players longer. Like, guys aren't going to the NBA draft.
Kansas.
Yeah. Kansas is another one. So there's great programs on both sides. And again, the parity comes from a lot of talent, young and inexperienced, a lot of seniors play basketball as a team unit the way it's supposed to be. And that's where you get these upsets, and there's going to be plenty of those. Now, a team that's not getting upset a lot, that is your Cleveland Crunch. They are 7-2, 8-2. Boy, I should have looked that up before. But they were at Omaha. Omaha posted some social media things saying, hey, Cleveland, you guys ready? Battle for the number one. Like, they have players trying to already, you know, talk trash 2 weeks, mind you, before the game happened. It wasn't the week leading into the games. It was 2 weeks before. The Crunch still had to play at home against Chicago before they could think about going down to Omaha. They take one of two from the weekend. Probably should have had both. They lose in penalty shootout in the first game. They went through the whole overtime period, 10 minutes. Nobody scores. They go to PK shootout. Omaha hits their two. The Crunch don't hit any. And it's, I guess, best of three there, like it is, unlike the outside game where it's best of five. But, yeah, they are well-positioned. They got a game against Ohio Extreme this week. Following week, they go up to the state up north, and then it's tournament time for them. It's semifinals. They're one of the top four teams. If you're one of the top four teams, you're going back to Omaha to play in the two semifinal matches on April 12th to try to get your spot in the championship game on April 14th. They're looking to add their fifth championship. Boy, Antonio Manfoot, the head coach. Peter, I don't know if you saw this or not. He was a player coach this past weekend in Omaha. Had hat tricks in both games.
I didn't realize that.
Yes. He had hat tricks in both games because they just didn't have enough guys that could make the trip to Omaha. So he was a player coach this weekend, had two hat tricks, leads his team to a win on Sunday after losing a heartbreaker in, again, penalty shootout.
Yeah, I saw that because I was actually volunteering up at the high school for the band for OMEA. Mm-hmm. Had large group competition and they needed help. So I was kind of checking when I could. So I couldn't really watch the game.
Yeah.
But I was checking the score and, oh, man, that was a. Yeah. It was great that they won Saturday because, I mean, I was there Friday and Saturday,
yeah,
both days. And so it was like, it really kind of hurt to see that.
It was a quick turnaround. They were done at like 10 o'clock Central time.
It was a 7 o'clock game on Friday Central.
It was 8 o'clock Central.
Was it 8 Central?
Yeah, because the game started here at 9:15.
Okay, I thought it was a 7 Central.
No.
8 Central, okay.
Yeah, it was 9:15, so it was like 11, mm-hmm, after 11, close to midnight when they finished. And then turn around and
it was a noon game here on Saturday.
Yeah. So a very, very quick turnaround. So it was good to see them bring the energy in both games and continue to have that number one spot by a half a game. So shout out to our friends over at the Cleveland Crunch. Let's keep it going, boys. Let's win Cleveland another championship the way that the Crunch always are in position to do. On the other side of the break, Jay, let's talk about the game that we keep moving our eyes to, Cavs down two. Let's talk about that team.
I'm sorry, Kevin. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about Crunch. And then he literally said everything about the Crunch. And just eliminated the left side. I'm like, well, I don't think we're going to talk about Crunch in the third segment today. I think he just covered it.
Yes, I just covered it right there. Yes.
You got excited, man. I can't help it. When you get going on the Crunch, you get going.
I can't stop. So, more basketball talk, though. Professional level. Cavs in action against the Heat right now. Been up and down since the All-Star break. What do we think that they can do moving forward? We will talk about that next right here on The Voice of the Land on the Big Play and Be On Air Podcast Network.
Are you struggling to hire the right talent or maybe even find the right career? Vector Technical makes it easy. Since 1992, Vector has provided Ohio employers with a reliable process for hiring and have helped thousands of job seekers advance in their careers. Vector Technical is more than just a temp agency. We invest time to get to know each client and candidate personally. Vector places people in job opportunities that they are truly excited about. Interested in learning more? Visit our website at www.vectortechnicalinc.com to see a full list of our current job opportunities and to find out what Vector Technical can offer you.
Get your gear at voiceoftheland.com/shop.
Let's keep the basketball theme rolling here tonight. Yes, it is Bracket Bonanza, but we have a team here in Cleveland, a professional basketball team that is pushing towards the top of the Eastern Conference, one game back of the Milwaukee Bucks for the number two seed in the Eastern Conference. Of course, still down Max Strus, Donovan Mitchell, Evan Mobley, and even Dean Wade, who's out with a knee. Congrats to him. He recently had his first child as well. He was out for paternity leave, but then his knee kind of flared up on him as well. So Donovan Mitchell out with a broken nose due to Tristan Thompson. I think the knee is more of a concern there that he
Are the Cavs just trying to mimic what the Browns did last year? Like, be hurt, next guy up, keep going. And we're just like, yeah, you know, anybody coming back yet? Like, can we get some people healthy?
Yeah.
Kind of.
I know Strus and Mobley have been working with the team a little bit more. They're kind of ramping back up. I think Mobley, an ankle injury wasn't as bad as they originally said. But, I mean, if he does come back, you got to find a way to get him touches. You got to find a way to get him
incorporated the right way.
But you have to get him to, I don't want to say it this way, but want to incorporate himself in there.
I'm not saying
he doesn't want to, but yes, be more aggressive. Like, there's certain games.
He shows spurts where he does do it, and I like it a lot.
And so does Jared Allen. Now, Jared Allen's shown it more consistently this season than Evan Mobley has, but there's still games where they get out rebounded. I think in Houston, when they got blown out, there was like 70 to 30
rebounds.
I'm with
you in your original take, the beginning of the year, and it's been proven right all year wrong. Those two should never play together ever again. What is there, 48 minutes in the game? So yeah. Split it up 24-24. Their legs will be fresh. They'll be fast. And they'll be energetic. But those dudes should not be playing together. Like, it just doesn't work very well for us.
Again, you can start the game with both, but like that stagger, like that was what I had mentioned, and somehow that started happening.
Yeah, it was weird.
It was really weird. I don't, a lot of my takes usually don't. My ideas, things that I think, I've never really seen manifested in real life. That was kind of, it was kind of cool, but also like I don't want to get a big head about it. But yeah, staggering them in the game and making sure that they're feeding off of one another, and in a good way, not a negative way. If Jared Allen starts the game getting like 6 or 7 rebounds, boxing everybody out, being physical down there in the paint, well, when Evan Mobley rotates back in, you need to continue that or raise that level. You need to make sure that what Jared Allen did to the opponents, making them feel him, feeling that pressure, feeling that physicality, you have to continue that. And vice versa. If Evan Mobley is the one, the aggressor to start, Jared Allen kind of starts slow. You need to pick it up when you come back in, because when Evan Mobley sits down and you're not on the floor together, you're going to have to maintain what Evan Mobley just did and or even raise it to another level.
Totally agree. Now, Kevin, I asked you if you heard about what happened with JB Bickerstaff before
we came in. I did not, but I know I saw it on the Twitter like feed as I was scrolling. And
he had, it was during a news conference or whatever, and he was talking about sports betting and how it's getting out of control and mm-hmm. how the fans are acting. And I guess fans have gotten his phone number and then send him, like, showing him where they know where he lives, threatening his family, his kids. They have fans in the back and like around the stadium yelling like, oh, keep the players in, you know, because of spreads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, dude, like, if you want to gamble and you want to have fun that way, great. Neither one of us really do. I do. I dabble in it. And my units are like $1, $2. Because if you should never be gambling amount of money that's going to make you that emotional, ever.
Right.
Unless you're super rich, and it shouldn't get you that emotional, because if you lose it, it's not going to hurt
Mac
you.
Or whatever yeah. his name is.
Like, but dude, that is so ridiculous. That like annoyed me so bad. Like, people need to be better held accountable for doing stuff like that. Like, if you send a threatening message to a coach because you're losing your bet, because you're not good at betting, you suck at it, that's your own damn fault, not his.
Yeah, that sickens me. It saddens me to hear that those kind of threats are coming to JB or anybody, because
and it's not, you know, it's not just him.
No, it's not.
No, you, I mean,
you know, it's college players are doing yep. it too and stuff. It's getting ridiculous, dude.
And the ability, the accessibility of information now, like, you have to protect your own information so much to the vest, even more than ever before, because there's so many different modes and methods for like, people
I'm
to
all
access
for
your
the freedom of speech. But that doesn't mean that you could just say whatever you want without consequences either. Like, people don't understand that you can't be threatening people. It's just ridiculous. Like, I pray that these people find help.
Speaking of betting and consequences, you guys see what happened to Shohei Ohtani's translator?
Oh my God.
That he's had for a while. He's like $4.5 million was wire transferred to out of Shohei's account to like a bookie, like a dark web bookie type, not the type that you want to be working with. And like, I guess like the translator's like been stealing money to pay off his gambling debts,
which is crazy because he's taking advantage, obviously, and telling him things that he's not really. And I'm watching that show. I was just telling him about Shogun, and it's about ancient Japan and a guy from England getting there, and they have to have interpreters. And at first, the first interpreter he gets is not interpreting correctly. He's totally lying to this dude. And he's like, oh, I'll say this and this and this. And then the interpreter is saying something completely else, making it really bad for this dude. I'm like, and then I saw that with Shohei. I'm like, man, that is so dirty, dude. People would just grind you sometimes. I hope there's more good out there than bad. That's all you can hope.
Right now, Heat going back up by 6 against the Cavaliers. I'm sure there's some people that have their actual cable, like the cord cable that are way ahead of us right now. But
now we're talking about betting. And my favorite way to bet are like, you know, me and you did wings yeah. with going to get wings with your friends. Like, I really don't like to bet money. I'd rather bet something like that. Or, you know, just to have a bet against a certain co-host at Cleveland ESPN Cleveland.
Well,
and let's talk about that on the other side of the
let's get into that. Like, we did mention baseball a little bit. We're not going to have enough time to talk about guards, but look, the season starts next week. We're going to do we'll be talking guards heavily starting next week. And we've, you know, we've had Andre not on. I know the sound wasn't great.
I may be falling in love with Chase DeLauter.
We'll talk about that.
I might have a fan crush on that man.
He's
hoping he's my hope for this season.
Well, him and Kyle Manzardo, who everybody
Everyone else can fanboy that guy. I'm a Chase DeLauter guy. I hope they both do great. Don't get me wrong.
Look, real quick. Like,
I just don't want to put any more pressure on Kyle Manzardo.
I know. I know. And I'm not saying that, like, if he can't handle, like, people kind of glumming on, he's not right for the game. But people that are upset that they sent him down, like, I understand you being upset. But also, I understand why they sent him down. Because
or just go back and listen to the episode we had with Andre Knott and suffer through the bad audio. But he pretty much said, dude, opening day rosters are completely different than halfway through the season rosters and at the end of the year rosters. That thing changes all year long.
Well, you already know after game one next week, and we'll dive into this deeper next week. Oh, the guards only score like one run or no runs, and there's no home runs or anything. Like, after one game, they're ready to get rid of Steven Vogt. And oh my gosh, why is there no home runs? Look, I would love power in this lineup as much as anybody else. But in order for Kyle Manzardo and Chase DeLauter to be ready for the major leagues, this is how the Guardians have always operated and other teams like them have always operated. You want to keep their service time. You keep all of those options to send them down when you need, you know, if they fall off and need to get them right, you need to send them back down to the minors. The guards have always utilized all of those pieces with their young players to try to help them develop. Now
that, and we got the guy, the outfielder from, I think it was Arizona. Is it Arizona or Tampa? I forget. But he's one of their highly prospects. Somehow we plucked him from their system. And if he has to come up with us, and if he doesn't, then they can take him right back. Yeah, they're going to give that kid a chance first. Because
Guards are always going to use all of the rules to what they think is their advantage. Now, you could argue that.
Well, they have to because they don't spend no money.
Right. You could argue that development of young players outside of pitching, the Guardians, Cleveland baseball organization doesn't do well. But I think that they are realizing they've given up on guys like Nolan Jones and Will Benson too early.
They're going to learn from their mistakes, hopefully.
And they're going to learn from these mistakes finally and make sure that Manzardo and DeLauter are right when they come up. And they're going to be up here this year. You are going to get a Manzardo and DeLauter in the lineup at some point this year. Probably earlier.
Fine. You know what? Enjoy it. Because now we get opening day. Enjoy opening day for what it is.
Yes.
And then when they get to come up, then you get to enjoy that game. And then when the other guy gets to come up, you get to enjoy that kind of game. Just enjoy the ride.
Enjoy the ride. Enjoy the levels that a long baseball season is going to take. They're going to start in March and not end to the end of September.
See, we talked Guardians.
We talked Guardians too. In. Look at this.
Squeezing it all in.
Jay's got a bet with somebody.
And we got to fill out a bracket
here. We got to fill out a bracket to help Jay out. We'll talk about the details of the bets and fill out the bracket next, right here on the Voice of Land on the Big Play and Be On Air Podcast Network.
Are you looking for a career in manufacturing? Vector Technical has you covered. Vector Technical is a 28-year-old staffing firm that has partnered with some of the biggest and the best companies throughout Northeastern Ohio. The recruiters at Vector Technical will coach you through the entire job process and will help you land an opportunity that you are truly excited about. Vector does not add any additional fees and offers benefits as well as free online skills training through Penn Foster. To learn more, visit www.vectortechnicalinc.com and make sure to check out our job board to see a full list of our current opportunities and apply.
Well, it's the end of the show and it's time to talk NCAA tournament once again. It's the bracket bonanza. We have to make this a main focus on the NCAA tournament. We talked about storylines. Now it's time to get down to the nitty-gritty. It's time to fill out a bracket. and try to help our boy Jay out. Jay, why do you need help?
So basically, I've been challenged by your, what do you call him? Co-worker?
Teammate.
Thank you. I was like, I know you guys call him something different teammates, over there. Yes. Yeah, you guys are all teammates over there. So your teammate, Aaron Goldhammer, and we've been challenged against each other. Whoever's bracket wins, like if I lose, I have to, Riz is going to mute my number so I can't text him for 3 months or something like that.
Yeah, those terms were never fully.
Yeah, I think they're just going to do something like that, basically. And then if I win, I get Aaron's seat on the RBS show for an hour, which will drive him absolutely insane because he's going to realize that I do it better.
Can I just say that when I heard these, terms while I was working today, and yeah, I know I don't talk about it a lot on the show. Yes, I work at ESPN Cleveland as well and love everybody, love all my teammates and everything. And this is just fun stuff.
Oh, it is. Like me and Aaron are actually friends. Like it's cool. Like I got no problem with them, really. Right.
So there's no issues there. The only reason I don't bring it up on the show is because out of courtesy to this show and to the job that I do there when I'm there, to separate the two, because I'm given the opportunity to continue doing this show and working there. So I try to show the respect each side deserves, but I do work at ESPN Cleveland. I work with Aaron. So I heard these terms, and when he was saying to that Riz needed to delete, or one of you needed to delete the other person's number forever.
Yeah. I was like, no,
if you're going to have that high of stakes, then the other side shouldn't just be that you get to sit there for an hour. Like I liked when Chris Holdak said, Aaron has to still sit in the room, but has to be silent. It has to watch you take his seat and things like that.
Yeah, and if he gets on his phone, I'm going to let you know, Aaron, if you start looking at your phone when I'm sitting in that seat, no, you got to watch me do your job better.
You got to have equal terms there.
Yeah, it's like if you win, I get $5. But if I win, I get $1,000. Like, no, man. No. If you want to give me your show for the whole week, yeah, then we could change the terms. Yeah. But
so if you guys are muted or you're like blocked by Riz for like 3 months or muted for 3 months, like I feel like that is
fair.
That's fair.
I agree.
Because you guys are still friends. You're going to want to talk at some point.
Exactly. You can't end a friendship on a bet. That's just stupidity.
So
let's get to this bracket, man. Let's just jump right into it.
Yeah. So we're going to bring it up on the screen so you won't see us anymore. If you listen to the audio, you never saw us anyways.
Your eyes have been released of looking at our faces.
So let's start. You guys are only doing the men's side of the tournament, right? The men's side of March Madness. Okay. So as we open this up, and this is
first off, it's going to look real bad, Aaron. Is if I watch not a single college basketball game and you're on ESPN national radio for a college analyst, yeah, it's going to look real bad if I beat you, dude.
So let's start in the East region. It's on the left side of the screen here. And, you know, we'll go with the 116. Do you see any sort of upset here? It's UConn versus Stetson.
Nope, I'm going to go with UConn.
Okay. FAU Northwestern. I'll just run through these quick. And
we'll go FAU.
San Diego State, UAB. This is a 5-12.
We'll go UAB.
All right. Pulling for the upset here. Auburn and Yale.
Auburn.
All right. So not going with the Ivy League. BYU and Duquesne. We talked about Duquesne earlier, their head coach of
Keith. No, Dan, we're right? Going with Duquesne.
Going with Duquesne. So 11 over a There's 6. An upset. Illinois versus Morehead State. Yeah, Illinois has been a pretty good team. I don't know if a Big Ten team can win this year, but Illinois is a really good team, and I don't see them getting beat, at least early. Washington State and Drake.
I know nothing about this, so we'll just go with chalk. We'll go with Washington State.
All right, so we're going with Washington State.
And we'll go Iowa State.
Iowa State. You want to just continue in this bracket?
Sure, we'll just go.
All right, so in the round of 32, you have UConn and FAU. You're moving UConn and
Auburn.
Auburn. Duquesne and Illinois.
Sorry, this is where Duquesne's magic run ends.
And Iowa State and Washington State.
Yep, Iowa State.
All right, so you're going chalk there. So you got the 1, the 4, the 3, and the 2. UConn and Auburn in the Sweet 16.
We're going UConn.
And Illinois, Iowa State in the Sweet 16 as well.
Man. Let's go Illinois.
And then in the Elite Eight, who do you got going to the Final Four between UConn and Illinois?
We'll go UConn.
All right. Over to the South region on the other side of the screen.
Houston.
Houston Yep, move them over. I don't want to say that school just because people would just take it in a junior type of way. Nebraska and Texas A&M.
Texas A&M.
You got to talk into the mic, buddy.
Texas A&M. Sorry, I was looking at the other thing.
Wisconsin, James Madison. This has been talked about as a possible 12 over 5.
We'll go with the 12. We'll go with James Madison.
I'm not trying to convince you. Like
I don't know anything, dude. I'm just guessing here. I'm going with luck and hopefully, you know, good karma helps me win this
one. Duke against Vermont.
I hate Duke. God, do I hate Duke. We're going to have to go with Duke.
Okay. Texas Tech, NC
State. I really wanted to make them lose.
I don't know if you know about NC State. They seem like they were dead to rights this season, and they won 5 straight games to win the ACC.
Yeah, they're playing really tough right now.
Got a lot of good momentum right now. Texas Tech, NC State.
We'll go NC State. Let's stay with the East Coast.
All right. Kentucky, Oakland.
Kentucky.
Florida. And then this is still yet to be determined from the playing games.
We're going to go with Florida just to make it easier.
Marquette and Western Kentucky.
Marquette.
Let's just go right back up. Florida versus Marquette in the round of 32. I'm just snaking here, Peter.
Gotcha.
Let's go with Florida.
Okay. NC State, Kentucky.
Wait a second. Actually, let's go with Marquette. Switch it back.
Okay. NC State, Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Duke, James Madison. You can do it if you want. I'm not going to be offended as a Duke fan.
No, I'm going to make them lose the next round. We'll go with Duke.
Okay. Houston, Texas A&M.
Houston.
Houston versus
Houston.
Duke. Kentucky versus Marquette.
Kentucky.
And Houston versus Kentucky.
Kentucky.
All right. So we got a 1 and a 3 in our final four so far. Let's go down to the other.
Oh my God, I got a whole nother one of these to do.
West. We'll go. Let's start speeding this up.
There's a lot of teams.
Put UNC already over there. Mississippi State, Michigan State.
Mississippi State.
St. Mary's versus Grand Canyon.
St. Mary.
Alabama. Charleston. Clemson, New Mexico.
Go chalk all the way down.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah, we'll go Arizona. Sorry, Long Beach. So we're going to go back up with the Arizona.
Okay. Baylor, Clemson.
Baylor.
Alabama, St. Mary's.
Alabama.
Ooh. And then Mississippi State, North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Yeah, I already know who's going to the Final Four.
Yeah, you already know who's going to win it all, don't you?
Yeah, I already know who's going to win it all.
So we got
Baylor, Arizona.
We'll go Baylor.
You got the threes going to the Elite Eight each time. North Carolina, Baylor.
Oh, you're going to ask me, dude? I'm taking North Carolina all the way to championship. Okay, we'll let you know.
We'll
right
fill
now.
That in here in a second. All right. Purdue versus their 16 Purdue seed.
And that huge.
They got
dude.
Beat by 16 seed last year.
Yeah, they ain't going to do it 2 years in a row.
Utah State, TCU. It's an 8-9.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Yeah.
TCU.
Gonzaga, McNeese.
Gonzaga.
Kansas. Samford. That's Samford, not Stanford. South Carolina, Oregon.
Ooh. Oregon.
Creighton, Akron.
Creighton.
Texas, Colorado State. You don't have a 10 over 7, but don't let that influence you. Just
we'll go Colorado State just for you, Aaron.
Tennessee, St. Peter's. I was trying
Tennessee.
To get, I was trying to like reverse psychology there.
Yeah, sure you were.
Tennessee versus Colorado State.
Tennessee.
Creighton and Oregon.
Creighton.
Kansas. Kansas, Gonzaga. TCU and Purdue.
Purdue, Kansas,
Creighton, Tennessee,
Tennessee,
Kansas, Tennessee,
Tennessee. Ooh.
So in our final four, we have UConn versus UNC.
UNC.
I was going to give them both. But
yeah, sure. Yeah, I just like to jump on the gun.
Yeah, that's fine. Just put UNC over. And Kentucky versus Tennessee. Wildcats versus Volunteers.
Tennessee.
And the winner I already know is what's going to be. So, Peter, just click it.
You know it.
And then put the tiebreaker in there. But
what is
I don't
that?
Think
total
it's
points? Is it
total points in the championship game.
What is a good total points? Of the Watch this.
165.
Oh, I was trying to find the under over. For the a game that's not available. sorry. That was hilarious once I realized what I was doing.
Put
I was
165. Like, I don't think
165 sounds great.
I don't think that's going to count in your guys'
competition. All right. Well, there you go.
So if we submit bracket, hopefully we can print this out. Because, Jay, this is the one you feel confident to submit against Aaron Goldham or ESPN Cleveland.
Sure.
This is the one I'm taking to them to submit tomorrow.
Would you make any changes, Kevin?
Would I make any changes?
Was I a mistake for putting Tennessee in the final game?
I mean, I might have gone Kansas over Tennessee, but in the final game, probably I'd probably go in a Kentucky Tennessee matchup. I'd probably go Kentucky. But
let's just switch that.
Okay. Perfect. But again, this is like the biggest crapshoot there is.
Oh, totally.
Out there. Like the chances of you getting a perfect bracket.
Slim to none.
You just got to do better than Aaron.
Yes.
Well, Aaron, best of luck to you, buddy. But you're going to need a lot of that luck.
Yeah. So down. There you have it. There's Jay's brackets. Hopefully you guys are filling out yours. I'm going to go home and fill out my men's and women's bracket in a friendly competition with my wife. We do a bracket every year for that competition.
It's 9:00.
And it's right at 9:00, which is going to wrap us up. This was a great bracket bonanza. Cavs down 7, though, so they need to come back. But college basketball starts tomorrow. If you are watching college basketball,
or you're watching Kevin watch college basketball,
you can do that on the ESPN Cleveland X and YouTube channels tomorrow. You can watch us watch the watch.
I can't wait to watch you guys eat food.
I don't even know if I can eat any of it.
Of course not.
On that note, for Always Positive Jay, for Peter Tellep, I'm Kevin Arnold, reminding all of you sports fans, don't let anyone ever tell you it's just a game. We truly love everyone out there, whether you watch us, listen to us, don't, whatever it might be. We love everyone 3,000. We truly do. Jay.
Don't talk about it. Be about it.
Do you want to send a special shout out and condolences, prayers and condolences to the original host of the show, Nick Paulus, and his family lost their grandmother this week. Do wish them all well. And anybody that is dealing with loss of a loved one, we wish and pray for you as well. Live life, all gas, no breaks. We'll see you next time right here on the Voice of the Land, on the Big Play Network, and Be On Air Podcast Network.
Time now for the Voice of the Land on the Big Play Network with your hosts, Kevin Arnold and Always Positive Jay.